WVLU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. The high school equivalency program at WSU welcomes volunteers to participate as tutors for adult GED students. Fluent Spanish speakers are especially needed. This is a wonderful opportunity to acquire teaching experience. Contact Priscilla Haystay at 335-5652 or go to Cleveland Hall, rooms 21 to 23 for more information. Bring a guitar. Bring a friend, bring homework, or just kick back and listen. It's open mic night every Wednesday at One Way Books from 8 to 11 p.m. One Way Books is located at 820 Colorado Street, next door to the Delta Delta Deltas. Open mic night is fun, fun, fun. KZUU DJs read public service announcements just like the ones you just heard every hour. If your club or nonprofit organization wants us to read a PSA about you, come to our office in Smith Gym, room 126B. Fill out a form online located under the staff button and email it to psa@kzuu.org. For more information, call our office 335-2208. Listen to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM. Today in the studio with me, I have...
So what does PES stand for?
The PES stands for The Peter Eichmann Show.
I see. Okay.
Yes. And that is that's the name of the show from the original times.
I thought it was the police education system or something.
Well, it could be, because we are educating people on a daily basis.
You are?
We are. Okay. All the time, continuously. So anyway, I have, as you heard the voice, hopefully by now you recognize it, but if not, this is the stadium voice of the Washington State University football team, the stadium voice of the WSU basketball team.
Thank you. The basketball team is winning.
And right. The mayor of the city of Pullman, Mr. Glenn Martin.
Martin? No, you work for Peter Martin, the county coroner. No, that's not
that
me.
Would be Glenn Johnson.
It's all right. I remember one time being introduced for the news, and the guy looked at me, and he just pulled a blank, and he says... And now here is, and he just could not remember for anything, you know. So.
Oh, that's too bad. So
John Glenn, I think, is how he introduced me. And I said, well, that's the astronaut, so that's not me. But
hey, at least the Glenn Martin. That's good. I don't know where I came up with Glenn Martin at. But anyway, so Glenn Johnson's in the studio with me. About 1 year ago, February 16th of 2006, Glenn was right here in the studio.
A memorable broadcast.
It was. I love replaying that one a whole bunch of times. Anyway, I went through that old broadcast, and one of the things we talked about with the City Goals Pullman, and I pulled out some of those things to sort of see where in the last year if Pullman's been able to act on some of these and how they're coming out and everything like that. So we'll see how that goes. Also, as Glenn was saying, the Washington State University Cougars are doing really well this season. One thing I noticed, I was going to a game the other day, and I was trying to find a parking spot, and I couldn't with all those bandwagons in the parking lot. It was horrible.
It is a joy to see people back. You know, and when you start seeing 11,000-plus
games,
and I think
that is exciting.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, in our broadcast last year, there was a you were talking about the era of Phil Graham. And
which was the lowest point of any basketball time we've ever had here.
Right.
That I've been here. I've only been doing basketball games since 1980. As I was telling one of my students today, he says, well, if I was alive then, Glenn. I says, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's the amazing thing is 1992, when I got here, Kelvin Sampson.
Yep.
You know, those were exciting times. You remember
very well.
You know, then we went to Kevin Eastman, and I think from there we went to Phil Graham. And it was sort of
We may have had a few in between, but the Phil Graham era of four years of that was the absolute lowest we've ever had.
Yes.
I mean, we got to the point where you only had like about 300 come to the game.
Yeah, more or less, you know, when you called, hey, what time does the game start today? They're like, what time did you get here?
Yeah, or what time would you like to have it start?
Yeah, exactly. It was frustrating, and I have to say, as the PA announcer, you don't really have the choice of going, well, you know, I'd rather watch
the game. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, good evening, Scott and Bill and Fran. Great to have you here, you know, that was about it.
Well, there is one thing nice about those games, though, Plenty of parking. You didn't have to get there 2 hours before game time to get a front row seat. Plus, when you filled out your name to get into the drawings for the halftime
things.
You
had a pretty good shot.
You had a really good shot. I think in like a span of three or four games, I was down there three times. It was pretty incredible.
So that's another reason why it's great to have a big, big audience. So, Scott, you're not down there two or three times.
Yeah, after my performances. I don't know who is worse, me or the basketball team.
The previous basketball team.
The previous, yes. Scott,
make sure it's very clear.
That is very exciting stuff, though. I mean, you know, watching the games, people are actually talking about the basketball team, going to the games, like you said, you know, 11,000-plus people at the games.
I drive through campus,
exciting.
And it's just to see all the people walking there. It's like a football game. Like,
yes.
You're walking to the game and just... It's the way it should be.
Oh, yes.
And to see Dick Bennett sitting up there in the crowd, knowing that he started it, knowing that he'd made the turnaround and then having Tony take over, you couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah. So, you know, there's been some murmurs and talks about the idea that now that Tony Bennett's doing so well, of him flying the coop real quick.
Well, I think that probably stems from the fact that they had an Idaho coach who flew the coop quite quickly.
Yeah.
And hopefully Tony Bennett has, I think he has here for the long run, and I think Jim Stirk, our athletic director, is going to do the best he can to make sure he stays here. And it's only his first year.
Yeah.
And plus he has many of these players, with the exception of Ivory Clark, coming back.
Right. I was noticing
so
that.
So who would, you know...
It's going to be an exciting...
You want to stay there, and you want to prove what you can do, and you want to recruit. And again, we are very, very blessed to have Tony and Dick Bennett. What a great, great thing they've done for us.
Oh, yes. Very good. So we got the city of Pullman. We talked last year about some of the goals. One of the goals was to put a friendly face on business.
And we've been doing that.
The environmental protection with the Department of Ecology.
We've had a lot of meetings on that one, including that we're going to have another meeting tomorrow night about it, because we've been dealing with stormwater regulations and a lot of things that have been dictated by the federal government, then passed on to the state. The state likes to add a few more little embellishments. Well, those embellishments cost taxpayers money every time they add that. And so in order for us to carry out some of the embellishments, some of the other things they put on there, we'll probably have to have an additional utility tax in order to pay for some of the things. Some of the proposals in stormwater, you could not even wash your car on a driveway, according to one of the regulations coming up. You would have to drive your car on grass and then wash it there.
Really?
They want permeable sidewalks. Well, we have clay surface here. It wouldn't make any difference anyway. And there are certain things we have to deal with the temperature of the Palouse Fork, you know, and it's, I mean, we don't have much water in it anyway at most of the time, except in the winter when we have a lot of runoff.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to make sure it's, you know, capable for handling salmon. Well, if a salmon actually gets in that water, it was dropped in from Dismore's.
Yeah.
The thing probably was dead, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not going to make it up the Palouse Falls. So those are some of the issues that we have to deal with.
Right.
But, you know, one of the other status things from last year was to try and get a proposition on the ballot so we could take additional steps to improve the pathways, and we have done that, and the voters were kind enough to give us 70% approval.
That was for the parks?
Parks, paths, and pavilions is
yep,
what
we go.
Basically had it. So we had a lot of people want a band show. We did not want to fund that all the way, but we wanted at least because we thought enough people could raise funds to help on that pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
So we got some seed money, basically a design stat. So roughly about $100,000, I think, has been allocated to that. Around $250,000 has been allocated to finishing sidewalks where there are gaps in sidewalks so we could work. And then, actually, be honest with you, it'd take a lot more than that to try and finish all the sidewalks. But the other part was to try and finish paths around the community. And we have done a tremendous job, thanks to Pullman Civic Trust and a lot of different other agencies that have helped raise money. But the path situation here is really nice compared to what it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
When you can jog on there, you don't have to worry about it on the highway, and you can use the Chipman Trail. And we've got over 10 miles of paths just in the city alone. Then you add to that the Chipman Trail. It's really nice, and
I hope
more people take advantage of it. And plus, one of the neat paths will be taken down from Maiden Lane, in which they'll basically have a walkway. And, yes, it'll be a, sort of a interesting walkway because it's basically dealing with a cliff to get people down there so they can actually go to Cougar Country or things like that off of Maiden Lane instead of going down the street.
What area of Maiden? Would it be where that old fraternity was that burnt down, or would it be further down Maiden?
Well, it will be a ways from Whitman Street down a ways there. But it will come out probably close to where there's a little park on the trail right now.
Oh, okay.
Glenn Petrie has a little area there that they dedicated. So
okay.
It'll come down somewhere around there, depending on where the engineering study comes out.
Okay. And one of the items was the expanded treatment plant. They were talking anywhere between $9 to $12 million for a portion of it last year, and I don't know what...
Matter of fact, the council approved basically the engineer estimates that came through and the bid came through, and we had a bid that was very comparable to where it's going to come out, about $9-something million.
Mm-hmm.
We approved that in the last council meeting. And so we can start the improvements there, which will add to the capacity for years to come. So, and Mark Workman, who's our public works director, was very pleased to see that the bids came in very competitively, so that worked out very, very well.
So by expanding the treatment plant, we're able to
accommodate growth.
So that's
I don't know exactly where
growth.
His next projection is, but that will significantly help on the growth. And you have to keep doing that. We're not quite maxed, but we're getting close. So
sure. And one of the things was getting water to the airport for fire protection.
That
water
is still
tanks.
A major issue. As a matter of fact, I have a meeting to go to as soon as I finish this one. So
yes.
We're talking a little bit more about that. When we get an estimate of how to get water to the airport, and one of the things that you're dealing with, you say, well, you got water out there. I've hit the restrooms. I've had the drinking water. That's fine. Well, that water's supplied by WSU, and we pay WSU for that water. Mm-hmm. The biggest issue, and you know that from your fire department background, is fire flow. We've got to get enough water out there to take care of a fire from a plane or from a structure, a hangar, whatever else, and we don't have that right now. And so there's been an estimate in the neighborhood of around $2 million to get water out to the airport, and primarily maybe putting a tank out there so we can at least take care of the immediate fire flow problem. This also would allow for Schweitzer to expand. Schweitzer has another additional corporate jet on the horizon to come in. Notice how I plugged the horizon and
that.
The corporate jet
that,
at the
yes.
same time. But we have to have enough water out there to accommodate that.
Right.
Because we're somewhat maxed out as it is. We have one addition to General Aviation. They came up with a nice plan for fire protection, that is, with some different kinds of systems in there, things with pressurized CO2, whatever they use. I was going to say halogen. That's not quite the term. Halon, right?
Halon, yeah.
And they were going to get that going, and I think that's what a lot of companies are looking at. But right now, we need to get fire flow out there.
Yes.
So that's what we're working on.
Okay, and then the FAA approval for the Q400.
That has been done.
Those
Matter
are flying
of fact,
in now?
Last week when we had the bad fog problems,
mm-hmm.
Spokane had zero visibility. We had 10 miles here at one moment, and a Q400 plane on the way from Great Falls, Montana to Spokane landed here. and they actually bussed passengers up to Spokane out of Pullman.
Wow.
And it was a Q400.
That's neat.
So we can handle the Q400s. We were able to handle the Airbus 319s. Matter of fact, I flew on one. We went to the Cougar football game over in Seattle.
Okay.
And it's great to have those airplanes being able to land here. So, yes, we got all the clearance for that. So that was all taken care of.
Okay. And we talked about what I guess this is sort of one question that I have. Who is it that owns the airport?
It is a entity that owns the airport. We actually have a group of people. One is Latah County is a participant. University of Idaho, Washington State University, City of Moscow, City of Pullman, Port of Whitman are all the entities that own that airport.
Okay.
They make up our board. And so we have board meetings at the end of each month, the last Wednesday of the month, and they're the ones that make decisions. It was that entity that came up with the terminal, and they replaced the old terminal and got a decent building there for the new terminal. So it's basically in the city of Pullman. It is annexed to the city of Pullman. It's technically the city of Pullman, but it's not when you start looking at all the different people that contribute to run that airport.
Gotcha.
And every one of those have been contributing.
Okay.
Now, the University of Idaho has been going through some rough budget problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a consequence, we're getting hints from there that they may not be able to sustain their budget. But both Moscow and Pullman contribute about equal. Then lesser amounts from University of Idaho and WSU. But WSU is a good partner in that,
mm-hmm.
in the Port of Whitman.
Okay. So we have the next thing was we talked about the next location for growth in Pullman when Bishop Boulevard is full. And
I think you're going to see some things happening up at Schweitzer because there's 92 acres up there that's zoned for multi-use.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in the last couple of weeks, the Schweitzer has had a number of different proposals that have been brought to them by developers.
Okay.
In order to put in a hotel or a restaurant or shops or things of that nature, condos, apartments, single family homes. I do not know what proposals have been made. That strictly was from the developer to the Schweitzer
sure.
engineering people. But I know that that's another area of growth.
Right.
If you look at Grand Avenue,
mm-hmm.
Brailsford has purchased the old bowling alley.
Oh,
that's
he has
also
now.
The area, yes, and that also includes the Kentucky Fried and Taco Bell. Taco Bell building will probably stand there, but Brailsford has his plans to tear down the bowling alley.
Right.
Finally, that property has become valuable enough because it has asbestos in it
right.
that you can tear it down and you can start putting the shops there
gotcha.
As you start heading towards because, and as Brailsford said, he said it's Walmart that's the magnet that's drawing people there. There's also, as you pass Bishop Boulevard and you go down to about where Arby's is and you'll see on the right hand side there's not a gravel pit but a number of trucks that have been there. That's about 12 acres and Brailsford and a partner have also bought that
okay.
and that's also an area for development.
Okay.
And then you look down Grant Avenue a little bit and you got Heinrichs down there who's got some land and he sees that as a potential too for development. So you've got a lot of different areas that are all primed to be developed.
And then on the north side of Pullman, I noticed, a while back, Dr. Fairbanks was
right.
getting
annexing
an annexation,
land.
And I noticed that our city limit Pullman sign is now further down the road than it used to be.
Right, and we've got some movement between the Port of Whitman and another developer down there, because the Port of Whitman has been basically running out of space. If you drive up the Port of Whitman, that's one of the most exciting things in this
incredible.
Town. And when you take a look, people say, what do you mean the Port of Whitman? I said, it's the industrial park. Haven't you been up there? A lot of the research that came out of WSU or the University of Idaho is in that park.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start taking a look at forest products like MetroGuard, you start taking a look at DNA cataloging, it's another outfit up there, you start looking at, of course, Schweitzer's 10 or 11 buildings.
Right.
I have sort of lost count because I know it's the corporate headquarters, worldwide corporate headquarters, the Schweitzer Event Center that he's now doing the manufacturing building. And, I mean, it is exciting. It is
right.
really exciting. But the land is getting short on the short end right now.
Yeah.
And so as a consequence, some of that area towards the Albion Road may
mm-hmm.
be a port expansion area.
Nice. And, yeah, that's one thing when, a long time ago, you went up Hopkins Court and, you had that intersection and went down to you know, pretty much four dead ends. And now, you know, they've looped around and all these buildings are getting built all over the place. And, of course, coming down Terra View Drive, you can see Schweitzer's two new buildings right off the roadway, you know. And
I can see Schweitzer's building from my house on Sunnyside Hill.
There you go. And
I,
so it's,
I thought I could just call Ed once in a while for traffic reports, you know, just because he's up at the top floor, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. So it's been pretty exciting to see that. And this 92 acres that's been annexed on the north side of Pullman, the Fairbanks addition.
I don't know how many acres that is. I know the 92 I'm talking about is actually Schweitzer Engineering. That's their property.
Okay. With the Dr. Fairbanks addition, though, is there any plans near term to start developing, or is there still a lot of hoops to get
through? He's been talking about housing around there. Steve Mader also is in the same area, and Steve Mader has done a lot of different development by the high school, and so he's got some plans too. Have we seen the final plans? No. And but they're working their way through penciling and figuring out what can work. And there's been a little slowdown in the housing market right now. One of the big things that Ed Schweitzer said was we've had a basically pent-up demand for housing. And we do definitely have housing needs for low-income housing or moderately priced income housing kind of things. And that also has been a discussion item not only for the city of Pullman and for our city council, but also for the county. We've had meetings, joint meetings there, trying to figure out where we could possibly do some, you know, affordable housing near the city limits and also give them city services. So that's definitely on the
And that's horizon. Definitely a frustration that a lot of people have. They want to live within Pullman because they either work here or they just want to be in Pullman. But housing is so expensive. You go up, you know, once again, going up Terra View Drive, you get up to the upper parts that are brand new. And it's what's amazing, first off, is just the amount of growth that's been up there. You get up to the very top and you're actually looking east to see the high school instead of looking west to see the high school, which, you know, you used to have to look west from any point in Pullman almost to see the high school. Now you're looking east, you see the high school. You actually look down, you see the lower soccer field that used to be surrounded by wheat fields, and now it's actually, you know, right there to be seen by everybody. This is weird. I'm sorry. I think my headphones are acting strange.
Oh, I didn't know if that static was we're off the air, but I see the modulation meter behind you, and it looks like it's still feeding.
It is. So
just want to make sure, as long as those levels keep moving, we're all right.
As long as we're bumping. So, yeah, everything's all good now. But so anyway, but a lot of the houses being built in Pullman are, you know, 250, 300, and, you know, really
there were
nice
some
houses.
Under 200,000 that were on Lawai Road, and they plan to build some more there, too.
Right.
And those are the houses that the front is not to Lawai Road. That's the back end of the house.
Right.
You have to drive in, and then you see the front of the houses.
Right. Now, those are more of townhouses than...
Yes, but they're single family. They are single family, so that has also met a need, and I drove by the other day and looked like there were lights on every one of them.
Yeah.
They sold quickly.
Yeah, that whole area up there by Wawawi, it's just, it's all growing. It's amazing.
Plus, there's additional development there. Already we've got, Heinrich has got a development going on there. There's another individual who's developing there, and so...
And then, of course, going up Center Street, you got, you know, the area around Itani. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, there's just so much growth on the east side or the west side of Pullman right now.
I actually believe what Ed said was we had the pent-up demand. There's a lot of people who were commuting from other cities, other towns, and they said, no, you know, gas prices, I want to live here.
Right.
And so those houses have gone rather quickly.
Right. And I'm not sure where I heard this. It might have been John Sherman, but somebody was talking about the occupancy rate of buildings in Pullman. Maybe it could have been Brailsford even, but they were saying we're at like 1% and a healthy
city. That was for apartments and for multi use, and at one time we were at 2%. Yeah. We are now down to 5%, and that was a goal that they wanted to do, is to get 5%, which gives anybody who rents some choices.
Sure.
As opposed to, well, this is my only choice I have. Mm-hmm. You get it down to 5%, that's healthy, because now you can sit back and say, you know, I don't really want to live in that dump. I want to go to something else. And that's what they needed to have.
Right. And now people are going to, maybe some of these ideas of slumlords, where it's like, I don't care about the house, I'll let it just get more and more deteriorated.
Which has been a real
problem.
Yeah, it's been a real problem with the city, because we get a lot of pressure from the community saying, why don't you have landlord licensing? Why don't you have these kinds of things? Well, we've looked into it, and landlord licensing is still up there on the agenda, but we've been waiting for a PASCO decision that's up before the state Supreme Court. And even though apparently the court has made some kind of ruling, we haven't got any findings yet from that. We keep getting advised by our city attorney, Laura McAloon, about what's going on with that. But that would be one way to help, because if you could at least license, you could also perhaps inspect and make sure that the students or whoever else is in a safe, you know, abode, as opposed to,
right,
well, they have dirt on the floor or they don't have plumbing and those kinds of things.
Right.
Hopefully, with most of those have been eliminated, but you never know.
Right. So, I mean, there's been, as you know, there's been a lot of growth in the housing market. One of the issues that we still continue to have, though, is the fact that there still isn't a lot of affordable, you know, median, lower income housing in the area. And I know that also with Pullman, and this goes to some of the issues of our sales tax revenue. Right now, this 24 cents per dollar that we had was coming in from sales tax, and I think you said most cities get like 50% or 60%.
Well, some are, they have quite a variety, but at least they're well over 30 and well over 40 in many cases.
Right, and last year we were at 24 cents, so essentially 76% of our city budget had to come from something
property
other than
taxes,
retail.
Utility taxes. The other issue, too, is that sales tax not necessarily comes out of retail sales. Some of that sales tax is on buildings.
Sure.
So, for example, the Cub right now is helping the Pullman community because there's sales tax on that construction, the remodeling. There was tax on other issues, but like when we had the hospital and Lincoln Middle School go up, there was no sales tax on that whatsoever. Well, there was sales tax, excuse me, but there is no property tax on those issues.
Okay.
But we really need the retail, and fortunately things are changing, and thanks to people like Brailsford, thanks to, well, there's a person by the name of Chris who is now promoting, who used to work with Vandervoort, used to work with Brailsford, and they're out there promoting Pullman. There's a big shopping center convention in Las Vegas coming up, I believe in May is what I've heard, and they're making pitches. There are businesses in this town that are very, very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I cited the other night at ASWSU, Quiznos has been a very, very successful franchise. Why?
Yeah.
Number one, it's been promoted nationally. The community likes it. And as a consequence, when they opened up, they were in the top 40 out of like 3,800 Quiznos nationwide. And they're still in the top 100 of 3,800 Quiznos nationwide. Now, that's
great. Yeah.
Now, when you can show those kinds of numbers, and you show how well the motion picture theater is, you know, the Village Center Cinema, which has been a fantastic addition.
Yes.
Zeppo's is doing very well. Other franchises in this town are doing very well. We have some of the best, I think, Oriental food in the entire Northwest, definitely that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when you start talking about some of those restaurants are very, very successful. We finally got a Thai restaurant in that place. I drive by, and there's cars all the time out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're starting to see that. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I went over to Moscow except for a meeting, because I don't need to. I can get everything here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a good cartridge world now, and they even sell new cartridges for your printer. Plus, you can get them refilled at a very reasonable rate. Shopko has a lot of things that I can buy. Some things I get off the internet, sure. But the more that we can bring in retail space here so people don't have to drive, and especially with gas prices, the better off this community
right.
will be.
And one of the things I was going to bring up that, you know, there's the biggest complaint that you have of a lot of people who are in the market to buy a home, even if the home is in their price range, you still have the issue of, wow, the property tax is ginormous mm-hmm. in Pullman. You look at the same house in Colfax or Palouse or anywhere else, and in some cases it's almost 50% less because property taxes are a lot more expensive than Pullman.
We've actually had people, because one firm moved over to Moscow, and they actually started looking at the cost of doing business because there is a income tax in Idaho,
right.
which we don't have in the state of Washington. But when they started comparing sewer rates, water rates, state income tax over there versus here, the two cities were very comparable. Matter of fact, you actually could be better off in Pullman than you actually were in Moscow because of some of the different taxes that are available over there. But, yes, property tax is one of the major things. That's why we're hoping that if we can get a better retail sales tax base, you wouldn't have to keep hitting the property taxes. And in the same voice, I've got to say that we've been very appreciative of our citizens who have stepped up, because they did step up for Prop 1. They did step up for the schools. They did step up for the hospital. They stepped up when we added 3 firefighters and 3 police officers when after 695 hit. So our voters have helped the city through a number of tough times. When you lose 1.5 million from 695, and 1.5 million was helping support the police and fire and parks and everything else, and you lose that, you try and find everything you can to try and keep your city going.
Yes.
I talked to elementary schools, and the fourth grade is the area of elementary school when they study city government. And they talk about, well, how big is your budget, you know, Mr. Mayor? And I said, well, it's about $13 million for the general, and about when you add everything together with the other one, it's about $39-40 million. Wow, that's a lot of money. I said, okay, let's look at the newspaper what the last pro football player won for. And when you start looking at a pro football player, I mean, our society is so far out of line with what, you know, I would love to see a cancer scientist get the $40 million. If you can come up with, you know, curing cancer and finding a way to stop that, that's a person who deserves that kind of money. Not somebody that carries a ball on Sunday. I'm sorry, it just doesn't fly with me. And I mean, okay, I work 5 years, you know, and maybe I get my body beaten up. Fine, you still got $40 million. Well, we're running a whole city on $40 million a year. And I mean, so things are out of, I'm sorry, that's my pet peeve.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, I know you have to get running. I just have one last question I asked you last year. The city council's view on the big box ordinance and or dark store ordinances.
Well, I think all of us are concerned about dark stores because you don't want to have a business come into town and then all of a sudden close up and now you're stuck with this concrete monster out there. And that's something that obviously Moscow's been dealing with and other cities have been dealing with as well. We did have a conversation with our former school superintendent, who's now up north, who said, okay, if they do come in, if Walmart does come in and they do go dark after 3 or 4 years, can I have it for my high school? So we've had people already you know, bargain for it. But that's one thing. And we have not taken any stand on big box. We've taken a stand on to make sure that they become a willing partner. That is, they take care of their roads. They take care of other things in the city. And we've had that assurance. We've actually had meetings with them about how we're going to protect and basically cover the cemetery. So, you know, we're not going to... You know, there were some people in Pard Group that I think just discovered there was a cemetery there. Unfortunately, my daughter and my son-in-law are buried up there. And we have a lot of people in the city and a lot of friends of that cemetery that have loved ones up there. And we even have a cemetery committee. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to make sure there's a good buffer zone. So when you do have funerals, you're not watching trucks unload at Walmart, those kinds of things.
Sure.
And we're working with them. And it's the kind of thing that we can all work together to make it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got other businesses that are lined up to come into that area, but that road has to be completed Fairmont. We have people at the Community Action Center that would love to have that road taken care of so they can have better access for people that need help. Plus, there'd be a bus route there, which will help many of the people, low income, that do not have cars to get to the Community Action Center. So there's a lot of different things that are lined up that all it does is has to happen. So we're all trying to work with every kind of group that we can to address the needs. And we're addressing needs on Bishop Boulevard. You know, it does have a traffic problem, but we also have a study going on that one, too, trying to take care of that problem.
Sure.
And with a Fairmont, it'll actually help some of the issue because they can come in off of Grand Avenue, turn on Fairmont. That will take them off of Bishop Boulevard and go right into the parking lot.
Great. Well, thank you for your time, Glenn.
So what music are you playing today? Or are you just talking the whole time?
Oh, no. I'll be talking most of the time. I do have the Reverend, the favorite of the PES, Reverend Horton Heat.
Oh, I see.
I have a CD with about 12 or 13 songs, and the people listening to the show every week are probably really familiar with all of his music.
I
play it all the time.
So that's what I can listen to that as I go back to my next meeting?
Probably for about 3 minutes, and then I'll be talking, doing some more talking and stuff.
Oh,
so anyway,
okay.
Once again,
thanks
this
for
was
having me on.
Yes,
appreciate it.
Glenn Johnson. Miss the PS on KZU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. The Department of Residents Life Social Justice Committee is excited to announce the 4th annual Tunnel of Oppression. Designed to raise awareness and promote diversity education, the Tunnel of Oppression is a self-guided interactive experience focusing on large topics of systemic oppression, including gender media, immigration, genocide, disability. Don't miss this great event, February 5th through the 8th, from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. in the Stevenson South Hotel. Had a bad weekend? Need legal counseling? Student Legal Services at WSU is happy to help. Student Legal Services is a student-run organization that provides free legal advice to students. So if you need help, stop by their office and at Annex Room 305. They're open Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. Bring a guitar, bring a friend, bring homework, or just get back and listen. It's open mic night every Wednesday at One Way Books from 8 to 11 p.m. One Way Books is located at 820 Colorado Street, next door to Delta, Delta, Delta. Open mic night is fun, fun, fun. The High School Equivalency Program at WSU welcomes volunteers to participate as tutors for adult GED students. Fluent Spanish speakers are especially needed. This is a wonderful opportunity to acquire teaching experience. Contact Priscilla Haystay at 335-5652 or go to Cleveland Hall, rooms 21 to 23 for more information. Well, how about them Cougs? Saturday, just escaping from Arizona State, the team that is the worst team in the Pac-10, with a 48-47 victory. The Cougars go into halftime leading 36-24. It looked like they pretty much had the game put away. And I think the Cougars were thinking that everybody else was, so they went ahead and put out the water boy, the head towel boy, the cheerleader. And for about 11 minutes and 20 seconds, the Cougars scored no points at all and ended up eking it out by one point, 48-47. The Cougs had less than 2 seconds on the clock, and all they had to do was get the ball in and waste some time, but 0.6 seconds were run off the clock when the Cougars fouled up that opportunity, leaving just over a second for Arizona State to have a chance to go and win. Arizona State inbounds the ball, shoots it up, and luckily for the Cougs, it bobbled around and went out, and the Cougars walk away from a victory that was all too close, especially against one of the worst teams in the Pac-10. So we had the Super Bowl yesterday. Pretty exciting game for quite a while. To start the game off with a kickoff run back for a touchdown, about 93 yards. It was pretty exciting to watch. Everybody over at my place, we were all cheering for that. Following that, we had the kickoff that was a squib kick, and the Indianapolis Colts did the squib kick. It goes down, and as the Colts are going for the ball, it's fumbled away. The Colts just happened to fall on it and take over the ball at that point. I'm not sure actually who I was really rooting for in that game. I guess I was just rooting that we'd have some pretty good commercials. One of the things that I've noticed during the Super Bowl recent years at least, is it seems like there's several companies that will put commercials on the air that had been on the air for quite a while. They're not new. And, you know, it's like, well, I guess that's their right to do that. But it'd be sort of cool if, like, some of these commercials were, like, debuted during the Super Bowl and then they played them a whole bunch of times. So I think the one I unfortunately was actually required to do some work this weekend, and I wasn't able to watch the end of the game. I was called away as duty called, and spent the next couple hours running around Pullman. The people at my place, we were having a nice little poker tournament. I was in the chip lead, and I get called away to duty. By the time I made it back to my house, my chip lead had dwindled, and I finally left in third place. So I went from first to third, but I still beat other people who were actually there playing. Unfortunately, though, second place and first place were the only ones we were giving money to, so I didn't get any money for my lack of efforts. Anyway, we were watching the game, playing some poker at the same time. And the one commercial that just cracked quite a few of us up was the one where there was a guy and a girl talking. Well, the guy was talking. He's like, well, I didn't want a cat. She wanted a cat. So we compromised and got a cat. The guys in the room, they all laughed. They thought that was funny. And the women just didn't understand it. So we most of the guys, I'm sure, understand that concept that when we compromise, the woman gets what she wants. So we had Glenn Johnson in the studio for about the first half hour. We were talking about the city of Pullman. We were talking about some of the new things on the horizon. It sounds like the bowling alley that had been shut down, oh gosh, a good 8-plus years ago, it seems. Maybe it was a little bit less than that. Is now has been sold and is going to be torn down. There had been an issue of asbestos in there, so it was going to be expensive to tear down. And as Glenn said, the value of the property has gotten to the point now where you can justify tearing it down and spending all that money just to get the land usable. So it'll be a little bit of a different view on South Grand as you cruise down from the north side, if that's the part of the town you live in. So it'll be sort of interesting to see what kind of businesses are going to go in there, or if it's going to be an extension of the current little mini strip mall that's in there with the Papa Murphy's, the Cartridge World, and Paper and Pals, I believe, is the other one. It'll be sort of interesting to see if that kind of thing is expanded, or if it's also what happens with the old restaurant, the old KFC Taco Bell restaurant, if that's actually going to get made into a restaurant again. I'm really excited to see what kind of things happen on the north side of town in the Schweitzer 92 acres that is there as zoned for multi-uses. Sounds like there's a lot of different ideas, including a hotel and other such things. And this is a little bit selfish of me because I live on the north side of town, so I don't really need a hotel there. I'm sure a hotel on that side of town probably wouldn't be a bad thing because most of them are on the south and central part of the town. There's nothing really on the north side. That might be a pretty popular thing. There's a lot of students that live in that area, so on a mom's or a dad's weekend, that might be a real popular place for parents to be, and you'd be able to get to them a lot easier without maybe having to drive all the time to get from point A to point B. What's going to be interesting, though, is to see what happens with that land. I would like to see some sort of restaurant type area, maybe a store. Some of the things that, even as bad as this sounds, driving all the way across town is sort of the pits anymore. You get used to living on your side of town, and you just don't really want to get in your car and drive all the way across town, It takes, it takes a good 10 or 15 minutes. It's horrible. And it's funny because you come from a large area and it's like, well, 10 or 15 minutes is just the first leg of the journey to get to a lot of the things you're going to go to. But in Pullman, you get all the way across town in that amount of time. You're just like, oh, geez, it's taken forever. And I would love to see some sort of store that has a fountain pop machine put up in that area. That would be the ultimate right there, because then I wouldn't have to go quite as far to get my pop every day. I know I am being selfish there, but that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see maybe I don't know if I'd want to see necessarily another fast food restaurant put in that area. We have quite a few fast food restaurants. It'd be sort of neat to see maybe a sit-down restaurant, whether it's a national brand like a Red Robin or a Applebee's or something like that, or, a more local-flavored one where a local businessman opens it up and puts in some sort of come in, sit down, have a burger, steak, or whatever, and casual environment, fun environment, something that's with good food that is reasonably priced. It would be sort of nice to have something like that on that part of town. Really, there's no you have one restaurant in that area, one actual restaurant, and it would be nice to have a few additional choices without having to necessarily go into town, go downtown or whatever else. So we'll see what happens. Whatever comes in, I'll be happy to see the development hit. I'll be happy to see Terraview Drive getting developed and Terraview Drive becoming a more used or utilized area. As Glenn was pointing out, the industrial park is getting packed. There's developments all over the place, and even in the last 8 years, I've seen a ton of the development up there. And even before that, there was very little up there. It was more or less a road to nowhere. You had a couple little buildings off of there for the most part. And since then, the roads have been expanded. There's all sorts of places to build up there, and a lot of them have been getting filled up. So it's been really exciting to see the city of Pullman growing and growing. The housing market, as Glenn and I talked about, in Pullman has actually... He said that it is starting to slow down a little bit. I know that it still remains strong, especially compared to other parts of the country. Pullman has a really strong market. We have lots of new houses still being built on a daily basis. Every day, houses are getting worked on. They're being constructed. They're being planned. Little developments are going in all over the place. New roads are getting built. Every year that the new map comes out for the city of Pullman, it's almost already outdated by the time you get it. It's almost like a new computer. It's the minute the map is put out, it's like, oh, there's like two new roads. You got to add them into your map. And so the construction, the development up, when you go on the west side of Sunnyside Hill, the southwest hill of Pullman. You're getting more and more development heading out towards the You're heading out towards Wawi Road. There's a lot of development heading out that direction. Plus, now on that road itself, the old movie theater, the old drive-in movie theater that used to be out on Wawi years and years ago, that area is all getting developed into houses and whatnot. When you go to the west side of the northwest hill of Military Hill, you're seeing the houses. As I was telling Glenn, you go up to the upper parts of Terra View Drive, you're actually looking east to see the high school, when at one time Terra View Drive went less than a block once you got past Grand Avenue. It went about, like I said, about one block, and it turned on to Dillon. And from that point on, Terra View did not exist. There was nothing there. I mean, Terra View has now expanded up a whole long ways. There's a whole bunch of roads that go off of it, and all these roads have houses, whether they be, there's some duplexes, there's some smaller apartment buildings. There's some. There's going to be some new condos built right up off of Terra View near Par Drive, or actually near Clay Court. There are other condos that are already in the area. There's the townhouses up there. You go further up, there's a lot more single-family housing, some really nice higher-end housing that's going up in the upper parts. And like I said, from that area, you actually start have to. You almost have to look east to see the high school. And at one time, you know, the high school was really far on the west side of town. There wasn't anything really more west on the College Hill or Military Hill than the high school. You have all the development that had been going in that extended Larry Drive past the high school, and all those houses that are getting built up there as you come down into Pullman on your left-hand side that you can see when you look to the north. You can see that whole entire hillside is just grown and covered in houses, and at one time, of course, that was just totally not there. And this is all within the last 10 to 12 years was when it first started going in, if I remember my years correctly. So we've seen a lot of the new growth up there, and it's just amazing how much Pullman is growing, but how much more it could grow. And the question is, are there people standing in the way of the positive growth that Pullman could be having? Is there things that we could do to allow growth to happen a little bit more freely? Is it good that we're trying to hold back growth? Is unchecked wild growth good for any community? You know, there's going to be different arguments from different sides of people. I would have to argue, if I want to stay consistent with my points of view, I would have to argue that if you own the land and it's zoned for such things, that you should have the right to do what your land is zoned for. And that's the big thing. If it's already within the city limits of Pullman and it's zoned for certain applications, people should have the right to use it for those applications. We've seen people stand in the way of such growth. Now, there is a situation up on Paradise, just off of High Street, which is really close to the Northwest Auto Parts store right across the street from my office. Right across the street from my office tavern, my office bar and grill, in sort of the same parking lot as the Pullman Grill and Bar, so that general area. But right behind the auto parts store, on the hillside a little bit, you'll see this sort of beige-colored apartment building that looks really dilapidated, doesn't have a very pleasing view from the street side. Who knows what the insides are like? I haven't been in there before, but if the insides are anything like the outside, they're in need of work. A developer would like to redevelop that land right there and make a 50-unit area, or maybe, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a 50-unit area or something. I unfortunately can't remember off the top of my head. I'm having a little bit of a mind freeze here. But anyway, the idea would be, I think they wanted it would be zoned to allow 25 units, and they want to make it 50 units. And the problem is that would put about half a parking space per unit, which would mean that out of every two units, there would have to only be one car. So if you figure there might be three people between two units, of those three people, only one of them could have a car. And the problem is that we know that there's going to be more people than that would have cars. So where are these extra cars going to go? There's only so much parking, and this is near the heart of the downtown area. There's only going to be so much parking that's down there. All the streets in Pullman have two-hour time limits, and you can't park between 3 and 8 and 6 a.m. So those are going to be out of the question to park there anyway. There's some free parking right there by Pullman Grill and Bar that's a city parking lot, and I don't want to see that turned into a private parking lot because that's a great little place to park to be able to get to the Pullman Grill and Bar and to several of the other downtown businesses right there if you want to go to Rancho Viejo, or if you do want to go over to the bars and watch some TV for a little while, or you're going to go over to Pullman Honda and take a look at some of the stuff they have. That parking lot is prime location for that, and to have that turned into residents parking there all the time and sort of taking up spaces would not be very fair to the citizens because that's a public parking lot. So a lot of citizens are saying, well, you know, we're not against the development. What we're against is the number of parking spaces you're going to put. And in this particular situation, the ordinance in that area is that you have to have 1,000 square foot units, and they're trying to knock that in half, which would allow them to add the extra units, which would allow them to make this a more profitable business for them. However, they're going to have to get an ordinance, a zoning variance. And this is where a group like PARD or any other group of people definitely have every right in the world to try to stop it from happening, because they're trying to change what is already set in place. They're not taking what's set in place and trying to utilize it. They're trying to change it from what it is to something else. And this is where everybody in that area has a very good right to say, you know, I came in here with the understanding that this is what the area was going to be like. I don't want you coming in and out and changing it behind me and making my area harder to sell in the future, or making it worth a little bit less money, making my area harder to park on. The streets up on Pioneer Hill, which is the southeast hill, and that's the area that High Street is on, Paradise Road, which is the one that goes by the essentially goes right by Rancho Viejo and will take you up towards like you're going to campus. That area is the start of Pioneer Hill, and it goes up to the goes to the south, and it goes up on that big old hillside right there. And it's an old area of town, and there's not a lot of wide streets. There's not a lot of available street parking for people who don't already have a house there. So if you have a lot of people who are putting in apartments and they aren't able to park their apartments, they're going to park somewhere relatively close to their house. So they're going to start filling up the streets in that area. And the residents who own property and have owned property there are going to have a hard time parking their own vehicles, and they're going to have to get pushed further away. And it's sort of going to be sort of a cascading effect. And so those people are every right in the world to stand up and say, no, don't do this at all, City Council, I don't want you to change it. Or the other option would be, okay, I don't have a problem with the fact that you want to make these additional units, but you need to make sure that there's, say, one parking space per unit versus half a parking space per unit. Because I don't believe that we're going to see people come in that are going to be the young urban professionals that want to live in the downtown area and work in the downtown area and is willing to walk to all those places and take a bus if they need to go anything further out. The problem with Pullman is that you have such a transient society. People are already coming from a distance away. If they're going to live in the downtown area, maybe they'll walk to a couple of places nearby, but they still need to go and move to other locations and move around a lot. And the bus system is good inside the city of Pullman on the days that the buses are running, as long as you don't want to be out at 3 or 4 in the morning because you're not going to have a bus service at that time. And you do have a reasonable bus service to get you over to Moscow if you want to go there. But if you want to head up to Spokane, or if you want to go to Colfax, or if you need to go down to the Lewiston Valley, if there's a lot of places you want to go, you're going to have a car. And like I said, a lot of people are coming over from the west side. They're coming over here for school. A lot of them are coming with cars anymore. Most people have cars. So this idea that, oh, don't worry about the fact that we're only going to give you less than half a space per unit, that's not going to fly. And I love to see the growth. I'd love to see the additional housing downtown. I think that will help the downtown on so many levels. You'll have people who are close to the downtown that will be willing to go downtown and maybe buy a couple of the things in the stores. Granted, one of the problems with the downtown area is there's not a lot of grocery-type shopping, so you're not going to have necessarily a lot of residual shopping where you're going out on, a daily basis buying stuff, unless you're going to, say, a coffee shop or the or some of the places that might sell, you know, restaurant-wise. But you're going to get tired of the same restaurants after a while, so it's not like you're going to even be going there on a daily basis. But just the ability to have the additional foot traffic downtown and just make it feel like there are people down there and a warm area to be would be really helpful for the downtown area. So putting this area in, putting these people in, would be a good thing. But once again, we need to make sure that the parking is there. And if the parking's not there, we need to make sure that the city will not allow this kind of thing to happen. Because we have, as anybody who reads the newspapers or tries to drive on College Hill knows, College Hill parking in the Greek Row area and just off of campus around Valley and Orchard, and that area is just tremendously horrible. It is so hard to find a parking spot. There's so many cars that are parking on lawns, that are sometimes on sidewalks or wherever they can find a spot to park, because there is no other places to park. And we don't want the same kind of thing to happen to Pioneer Hill. There's no reason for it to happen Pioneer Hill. And the way we get around this is by making sure that if people are going to put in large complexes, that they make sure that there's spaces for people to park when those complexes are put in. You're listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, and this is the favorite of the PES, Reverend Horton Heat. Listen to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM, broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. The Women's Transit is looking for drivers and dispatcher volunteers. All volunteers receive hands-on training. Gas, cars, and insurance are provided. Receive academic credit while giving back to the community. To sign up, come by Women's Resource Center in Wilson Hall, Room 8, or call 6849. Are you fond of prizes? Free food? Laser tag? Speed dating? Henna tattooing? Or jousting? Well, the SEB's Up All Night is the place for you. Come to the Rec Center February 9th from 8 to 12. Entry is free with student IDs or $2 without. That's February 9th from 8 to 12. Live music will be provided by Miles from Home. Attention, art appreciators. Video and photography, Western Bridge, will be showing from January 5th through February 11th at the WSU Art Museum. In a two-part presentation, the Art Museum will highlight room-size video projections and complimentary photo-based works. Part 1 is from January 5th through January 26th. Part 2 goes January 27th through February 11th. Admission is free. KZUU DJs, Republic Service announcements like what you just heard every hour. If your club or nonprofit organization wants us to read a PSA about you, come to our office and rooms in Smith Gym, room 126B, or fill out a form online located at a staff link. Email it to psa@kzuu.org. For more information, call our office, 335-2208. We'll be right back. So here I am listening to somebody saying how horrible the environment is coming into and how horrible the that we need to do stuff now, that the government needs to act, the government needs to do this. And then this person goes on to say, you know, until the government does something about it, we need to all do what we can and recycle and do this and that. And it's like, well, maybe that's what we ought to be doing rather than looking at the government is policing ourselves, looking in the mirror, looking at who is in the mirror and say, hey, it starts with you. If you care about something, you better start acting like it. Don't start running around saying the government has to do something about it. The government has to do something about it. No, you need to do something about it. If you care about it, start doing something about it. And the answer isn't government. The answer isn't running and telling the government you need to make all these regulations. And until then, nobody's going to do anything. No, make a case for it. Show people why. I guess my point would be that, and this sort of a little bit goes with what I had talked about the other day, that we need to take care of ourselves rather than waiting for the government to do it for us. People in New Orleans a couple years ago, I hate to beat a dead horse, but I'm going to because we hear about it all the time anyway, so I'm not the one bringing it up. But people in New Orleans waited for the government to go save them. They waited for the government to tell them what to do. And it's like, look, you got a big, huge hurricane coming. You're about 17 feet below sea level. You got these dikes out there that are holding water back, but guess what? You might want to get to a little bit of higher ground, at least, you know, get to the 18-foot level so you're not quite underground. You know, I mean, something. Let's use some logic here, okay? So you have these people that are waiting for the government to do something for them. It's like, look in the mirror. Look at yourself. Say, what can I do for myself? Actually, wasn't there this one president? It's actually a Democrat, if I remember correctly. He said, ask not what the country can do for you. Think about that. Ask not what the country can do for you. Don't look at the country and say, hey, what are you going to do for me? No, that's not what it's about. You need to look in the mirror and you need to do for yourself. It's not the country doing for you. We're unfortunately getting to this entitlement phase that everything's about entitlements. Everybody deserves something from the government. Well, Joe Blow gets it, so why don't I? That's not fair. Everybody wants a handout. But, you know, the bottom line is these handouts are given from yourself. You're being taken from. And it's put into a big pool, and then they give it back out. How is that smart? How is that even something that people don't see? It's like, why? If I were a thief, and I came up, and I took your wallet, and I took a whole bunch of money out of it, and then in a week I came back, and I gave you half of what I took from you, you'd be happy? Well, heck no, you're not going to be happy. I just took a bunch of your money. Well, guess what? The government's doing that kind of thing. They're taking your money in the form of taxes, and then all of a sudden they expect you to be happy when you get it back in some entitlement program? Stand by. On the air, on the PES, is none other than Batman. How you doing, Tom?
Good. How are you, Scotty?
I'm doing really well. Are you, just real quickly, are you on a landline or are you on a cell phone?
I'm on a cell phone.
Really? And it's working. So
it is working, yes.
That shoots my theory out of the water.
Yeah.
So, all right, Batman, what do we got today?
Well, I didn't get to hear Mayor Johnson's part at the top of the show, but how did that go?
That went very well. We had an opportunity to talk about a lot of the issues that we had talked about last year on the show. I asked him, we talked about the airport and let's see, we talked about the airport and who, like, more or less who owns it,
mm-hmm.
Who's in charge of it. He was talking about, because last year on the show we talked about the idea that the Q400 would be able to fly into the airport,
right,
which would have, you know, a larger capacity for
mm-hmm.
people. And that's now underway. We talked about the water treatment plant and the expansion of it to allow for better development, and that's been approved by the city council. We talked about some of the areas of future growth of Pullman, which last year when we talked, he talked about further down south on Grand Avenue and then the 92 acres multi-zoned area near Schweitzer.
Yeah.
And this year he pretty much gave the same He gave pretty much the same answers as far as those two areas, but he now started giving a little bit more specifics as far as some specific areas along South Grand that are being built up. And one of the things he said was the old bowling alley is looking at – it's finally to the point that land's worth enough money that it's that it would be worth somebody tearing down the bowling alley, which is, has asbestos. And he said Brelsford's going to be part of that project. And Brelsford had said that Walmart is the magnet that's making this land increase in value, which is going to make it so I can afford to have this bowling alley torn down because of all the environmental regulations of the asbestos around it. I don't know if asbestos is specifically environmental or if it's mostly OSHA, WSHA type stuff that it's like, you know, you don't want it airborne. You want to make
sure. Yeah, sure. There's all kinds of requirements about it.
So, but it's finally going to be worth somebody buying the property and tearing down that bowling alley, which is an old building that, you know, doesn't have a lot of additional uses. So, and he had specifically mentioned that Brelsford said that the Walmart is this magnet that, you know, people are wanting to be down here now. He talked further down Grand Avenue. The Fairmont expansion, some of the stuff out there, plus what appears to be almost like a gravel quarry, but it's a place where people park trucks and stuff. There's like a 12-acre parcel there that has been bought up. And then, of course, I guess a lot of developers have been going to Schweitzer, pitching ideas for growth there.
Yeah.
He talked about the, I guess some, there's two or three major developers that are really championing Poland and, you know, trying to pitch stuff out there. And I guess there's a big shopping center convention in Las Vegas right now, and one of them, at least one of them's down there pitching to Pullman to some of these people. So maybe something will come out of that. We unfortunately we only had a half hour because he had a meeting pop up that he had to go to at the airport, as a matter of fact. But so I didn't get a chance to talk to him about the north and the south bypasses, the urban planning area, and the Whitman County corridor, that kind of stuff. But I did my final thing I talked to him about last year was a big box ordinance, and he said, and in 2006, the interview was on February 16th, so it was almost 1 year ago. He said it's not even on the agenda, and I asked him, I said, okay, what's the city council view on the big box ordinance and or a dark store ordinance? And he pretty much skipped right over the big box ordinance. It doesn't sound like that's, you know, even something that's on the 2007 agenda. However,
I seriously doubt it.
The dark store ordinance is one that is of concern. He didn't necessarily say there's any kind of ordinance coming up, but that's definitely an area of concern. You don't want a lot of big, huge, empty shells sitting around town. You'd like to see those built up. And I guess where my only thing would be, if there's a big, large building that's empty, you see other people come in and, like, say, the old Excel Foods that was on Stadium Way.
Yes.
If you recall, that was a grocery store. And now it's Barnes & Noble. It's Blockbuster. It's Little Caesars. It's Cougar Communications. It's Starbucks. So this large store was now divided up into five smaller businesses. So I would think that even with a large store that goes out of business – which, you know, I would have a hard time seeing that happening any kind, you know, I mean, you might see it happen, but I really doubt it. But if it did happen.
I doubt it, too, and I really, I can't imagine it's much of a priority for the city council because it certainly hasn't been a problem in Pullman. We have to get stores before we can have dark stores.
You know, that's a very good point.
We have a lot of growing before we can even start thinking about, you know, things closing down. So it's probably very premature and unnecessary to even contemplate something like that. And let's face it, the one that's proposed or the one that they have in Moscow is aimed squarely at Walmart. No one else. It's aimed squarely at Walmart.
You know, I'm not familiar with – I know they're big box ordinances. You know, those are – you know, they're fashioning those.
Right, that's aimed at Walmart, too.
But what are they doing with the big box or the dark store ordinance?
Well, the dark store ordinance, would be you have to – there's various things, you know, requirements that have to be done, good faith efforts that you make to try to, you know, make sure the building that you vacate is taken over by someone else. And if it isn't after X amount of time, then there's certain monies that get paid to the city, and they have to maintain it in good order and everything else. But, I mean, let's face it, who in Moscow is more likely to have a dark store in the next 5 years? Walmart, if they build a supercenter in Moscow.
Right.
They'll close their old location and move into a new one. So this is just yet one more thing that the city council is using to try to flay Walmart and keep them out of Moscow.
Right.
Which they've already won, so I don't know why. You know, it's like they're building layers of protection now.
Yeah, well, it's almost like, I mean, there's always a chance that sometime down the road Walmart will find the right piece around for the right amount of money and still try to do a big superstore or something over there. Maybe Moscow's afraid that with Pullman's store going in and Moscow not having another one, that Walmart just might pull up its stakes and only operate the one in Pullman. But I don't think that's going to be the case because they wanted to have one in both cities. So
yeah, and I think that's still their ultimate goal. But I don't think we'll see that until there's some sort of regime change in Moscow.
Right.
So once that happens, maybe the plans will be dusted off.
Sure. And I'm just, you know, like I said, by all means, I'm all happy that Moscow's trying to push this stuff away for a while. You know, like, let us catch up with you guys.
And this is a golden opportunity, really.
And one thing I talked to Glenn about a little bit, where we were talking about the growth of, you know, the housing and the explosion that we've been seeing on the west side of Pullman. I was telling him how, like, you go up to the end of Terra View Drive on the northwest side, and you actually got to look east to see the high school now, where at one time it was pretty much any place in Pullman, you looked west.
Right.
You know, now you can look east and see the high school. I mean, we're getting growth, you know, that far out. You can get to some of these areas and look down and see the lower soccer field that you used to only be able to get to by going all the way around to the very back of the high school.
Yeah.
And now you can get to it by going, sure, you know, a whole different way. It's just,
right.
And then, of course, up on Wawawi, Center Drive, Itani, I mean, that whole right. area is just getting built like crazy. But you still have the problem of a lot of really affordable houses, especially when you get up on Center Street and a lot of that stuff up there, that's really high-end housing
right.
for your first-time home buyer. It ain't going to happen. Well, Wowie, there's some of the cheaper houses. When I say cheaper, I should say less expensive.
Right.
But a lot of those are, you know, maybe townhouses
yeah.
or,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's single family, but you still are sharing walls or whatever. You don't necessarily have full property all the way around it.
Right.
So, but it is, it's your first step, and it is a house that you can afford, and it is a house and not an apartment or a condo.
Right.
So it's a little bit better. But, you know, so there is that kind of growth, but we obviously need to see more of it. And I was telling them that, you know, one of the things that you see happening is people want to live in Pullman, but they can't afford to live in Pullman. So they have to look at other alternatives. Really, if you think about the alternatives, you got, okay, maybe Colton Uniontown, 15 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Palouse, 15 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Colfax, 15 miles. Albion, about 7 or 8 miles, Moscow, about 7 or 8 miles.
Right.
Okay, so now realistically, the two closest choices, Moscow and Albion. Okay, not to say anything bad about Albion, but
no.
There's no services. There are no services
right.
in Albion. You have to drive about
right.
7 miles anytime you want to get a gallon of milk or,
exactly.
you know, anything like that. You choose Moscow, which is about 7 miles. Now you got tons of services.
Right.
So you have this difference. Do you live in Moscow? Do you live in Albion if you can't afford something in Pullman? Now, Albion is going to be cheaper than Moscow to buy a place. But once again, you're living in Albion. You don't have a lot of the amenities. It might not be as easy to resell where it would be easier to resell in Moscow. But Albion has a step up on Moscow because Washington doesn't have an income tax where
right.
Moscow would.
Right.
So you'd be paying extra money in income tax by living over there. Plus you have the additional sales tax on top of it. And one thing Glenn was talking about, because I said one of the problems that the city of Pullman has, you can choose almost any other place like a Palouse or a Colfax or somewhere else to live. And the same house in Pullman that would be in Palouse or Albion is almost about half of the property taxes. The houses cost, you know, maybe only three quarters of what it would cost in Pullman. It's like buying in Pullman is so much more expensive. The taxes are a lot more expensive. And he said to that a business had moved from Pullman to Moscow, and after they moved and they started attributing, they started seeing everything. They're like, okay, well, now with the income tax, with the water and sewer rates, with the other taxes and the way the taxes are and everything, he said they found that Pullman was almost a wash. If not, Pullman might have been a little bit better.
Right.
It would be interesting to see all of these facts and statistics because, you know, Pullman doesn't control everything about businesses. There's a lot of stuff the state of Washington forces on
right.
all
right.
the cities
yeah,
and all the businesses that really make it unfriendly. And,
right, the B&O tax and stuff like that
right.
Pullman has no control over.
And so Moscow still has some advantages on that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And one thing the state of Idaho has, I actually was talking to a businessman this weekend, and he – pretty much lives in Pullman. And I said, well, why don't you just move your business here too? And he said, because Washington is horrible for businesses still. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He goes, for instance, in Washington, they tax you on your gross revenues.
Yeah.
In Idaho, they tax you on your net revenues. Mm-hmm. So in other words, all your overhead that gets removed from your gross to make the net, you don't get taxed on. Where in Washington, you do. And that could be a huge amount of money.
Sure.
So by being in Idaho, he's saving that. But then you also have to ask, well, what about the fact of the sales or your income tax? Is the income tax eating up that difference that you would have saved in the net versus gross taxes? I mean, so in some cases, it might not be – I mean, you might be paying the net some same taxes
right.
when it, at the end of the day. It's who you're
variable.
Paying it to.
It's hard, I think, to do. I mean, I've heard a lot of talk about doing a straight comparison between Pullman and Moscow. There's been, you know, talk about that for years. But it's really difficult, I think, because there's so many different scenarios and variables that would be involved in doing a study like that.
Oh, it would be really difficult. And one of the biggest ones that I see is, as far as I'm concerned, I am so against an income tax, it's not even funny. Is for all the little issues that you have left and right with Washington and the way it does stuff, I'm really happy that there is not any income tax. I know they're going to the new Congress is going to try to, or the new House, or I think it was the House that was going to try to push this new this idea of a income tax. And once again, we've talked about this time and time again. It's not going to be a good idea because it will not lower taxes. It will, over time, raise our taxes because then they'll have multiple sources to get us on taxes. They'll take it out before we see it. They'll take it out when we spend it because the sales tax will not go away. Property tax will not go away. And the sales tax will be controlled locally. And every time they need a bump in the sales tax, they'll put it out to the voters. And right now, sales tax is only 2.5%. So, you know, that's not a big bump to go 2.6%. Well, the problem is that people might see it that way because now all of a sudden their paycheck, they don't even see the money they're losing out of the paycheck because the federal government takes it before we get it. The state would take it before we get it. And gosh, you know, our sales tax used to be almost 8%. Now it's down to 2%. So what's the big deal if we add a tenth of a percent here and a tenth of a percent there? Well, the big deal is that they're still soaking you before they even give you your money, before you take the money that you earn. And the one thing I was talking about just before I went to break was the idea that the entitlements and how people look to the government, where I heard somebody today saying when the government needs to do something about the environment, the government needs to do something. It's like, no, look in the mirror. You need to do something about it. If you're concerned about the environment, start doing everything you can to do first. And then I related it back to the story that I told a couple weeks ago where this person was complaining about their local playground for the kids. There's drug paraphernalia. There's all these bad things there. And it's dangerous for the kids. And she said, we need to get together as a community. I'm like, yeah, there you go. Get together as a community. Go together. We need to get together as a community and complain to the government. I'm like, what? You've just lost the whole point there. You don't get together and complain to the government. You get together, you fix the problem. Look in the mirror. Do it yourself. I talked about Hurricane Katrina, how the people were living 17 feet under sea level. And a Category 5 is coming down on them. And what do? They go, well, what's the government going to do to save me? It's like, no, get your butt to higher ground. You got to go 18 feet. That's not far. That's not high. Come on, do it. Do something. Don't wait around for the government to save you. Look in the mirror. That's the guy who needs to save you, not the government. We get into this idea of entitlements where it's like, well, Joe Blow is getting this and this and this. I deserve it too. Why don't I get it? So people demand these entitlements by the government. Well, guess what? The government's money is our money. So what we're doing is we're demanding the government take more money from me in order to return it back to me. And I'm like, well, would you be happy if a thief took your wallet, took all your money, and a week later came and gave you half of it back? Would you be, oh, great, this is cool? No, you'd be mad. So why are you happy when the government does it? You should be saying, stop the entitlement. Stop giving me back half of what I give you. Stop taking all my money. Do what you need to run the government, and stop taking the rest. You don't need it, and I don't want you giving it back to me. I'll decide how I want it spent.
Exactly.
So.
Well, I have one final thought I want to share with you before I have to take off today.
Sure.
Remember last week we talked about how Pullman has lost $1 million so far in the battle over Walmart. Interestingly, though, what would it cost to stop the battle over Walmart? And in Chelan, one group has already put a price tag on what it'll take for them to give up their fight against Walmart, $5 million plus expenses. and it's pretty shocking. And we'll hopefully hear more about that next Monday.
So yeah, they want Walmart to pay them $5 million plus
legal expenses
plus
they want a cut of the sales tax revenue for the next city for 10 years.
10 years, yeah. So okay, we'll stop what we're doing. Isn't that just sort of like what's that word when you
extortion?
Extortion, yes.
It's or like the old protection.
Yeah, exactly. You buy the old protection. That's awesome. And they're doing it legally these days, huh?
Yeah, legally.
The unions have figured out how to get it done legally. Yeah, where in the past it used to be under the table. Now they're just doing it in the open.
Yeah, so it's like we hate Walmart so much it's going to ruin our town, so we must fight you to the death. Oh, but if you pay us $5 million,
we'll stop.
It's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Tom.
I'll talk to you next Monday, Scotty.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Once again, that would be Batman Tom Forbes of the Palousetix website. Palousetix.com. He's also a town crier for the Pullman Moscow Daily News. You know, I was going off on a little rant there, as you heard. My voice excitement goes up a little bit as I really get driving away at some sort of point. I need to finish the song we started before we had a chance to talk with Batman. It is one of my favorite Reverend songs. And here we go with the favorite of the PES on KZU 90.7 FM, the Reverend Hearts and Heat. Welcome back to the most important thing that you're ever going to do on a Monday at noon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to contact KZUU at 509-335-2207 or email gm@kzuu.org. The Department of Residence Life Social Justice Committee is excited to announce the 4th Annual Tunnel of Oppression, designed to raise awareness and promote diversity education. The Tunnel of Oppression is a self-guided and interactive experience focusing on large topics of systemic oppression, including gender, media, immigration, genocide, and disability. Don't miss this great event, February 5th through February 8th, from 3 to 8 p.m. in the Stevenson South Hotel. Had a bad weekend? Need legal counseling? Student Legal Services at WSU is happy to help. Student Legal Services is a student-run organization that provides free legal advice to students. So if you need help, stop by their office and add Annex, room 305. They're open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. and Fridays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Volunteers wanted. The Women's Transit is looking for drivers and dispatch volunteers. All volunteers will receive hands-on training. Cars and gas and insurance are provided. Receive academic credit while giving back to the community. To sign up, come by the Women's Resource Center at Wilson Hall, room 8, or call 335-6849. KZUU DJs, Republic Service announcements like what you just heard every hour. If your club or nonprofit organization wants us to read a PSA about you, come to our office in Smith Gym, room 126B, or fill out a form online located under the staff button and email it to psa@kzuu.org. For more information, call our office 335-2208. And you are listening to the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM. Broadcasting live from the dark, damp dungeons of Smith Gym. This is Scotty. Reach me on the phone, 335-2207. Reach our website, www.kzuu.org. And the show's website, www.thepes.com. So last semester, I ended the semester talking about not getting killed while driving on the roads. Some of the things that I've learned recently, about what are the major factors of things that are killing people in Whitman County. We'd seen an explosion of fatality car accidents all over Whitman County. They might have been going on elsewhere too, but I specifically talk in Whitman County. Why can you go 9 months, a year and a half without a single fatal car accident, and then in a matter of 3 months have like 12? You know, you're averaging one a week for a while. How do you do that? How do you go from nothing for over a year, 2 years, and go to one a week? The roads haven't changed. It's not like all of a sudden the roads just, you know, totally changed direction. What is it that's changed? What differences are happening? And a lot of people are asking that question. Why is it that people are dying in car accidents today and we're not dying in them yesterday or the day before or 3 months ago or 4 months ago or 10 months ago? Why is it now? You can't say it's the weather, because last winter we didn't have this kind of problem. And some of these car accidents were happening well before the roads were getting frozen and icy. And actually, only one of them was directly related to the ice that I know of. One of them was directly related to the ice. So you can't say that it's because of the bad weather. So what is it? Is it all these drunk drivers? Well, no. There's a lot of them that had nothing to do with drunk driving. What's going on? Is there all of a sudden UFOs out there that are pushing cars in the wrong lane? Is there all of a sudden some sort of weird aura over Whitman County that's causing people to do things differently? Or is it just a series of events, a whole bunch of things happening one after another that's sort of a coincidence? Hard to say for sure. Well, you could probably go off with some really far-fetched theories and ideas, but I think that you would be not getting anywhere close to it. You got Occam's razor. The most reasonable and simple explanation is probably the right one. And I would say that what's happening is it's just a series of unrelated events that are all happening near the same period of time. That if each one of these events had been spaced out by 6 months, nobody would really be saying, oh, geez, what's wrong? Why are the roads dangerous? No, it's not the roads that are dangerous. It's the people who are driving the vehicles. And the people aren't necessarily dangerous, but they're doing activities that are increasing their likelihood of dying in the event of a car accident. So I spent some time talking about some things that people could do in order to decrease that chance that they could die in a car accident. One thing I'd like to say before I go on with a lot of this other stuff is the newer cars today are really well built for car accidents. They're built with these crumple zones and airbags. And I've gone on so many car accidents where you've seen these cars and you're just like, how is anybody alive in there? And you might have to cut away some of the metal and stuff because the crumple zones and everything. But you get inside the car and really the person isn't badly injured or not injured at all, or you get dispatched out to like a rollover car accident where the car's rolled, and when you get there the person's standing outside going, yeah, I'm on the phone with my parents right now, the tow truck's on its way, I don't need anybody, you know. And it's like you were just doing 60, your car rolled over, you're okay? How is this happening? Cars are being built today that are a lot safer. Now I'll tell you, those ones that are rolling over and that are getting out of their cars, they're getting out of their cars because they were wearing their seatbelt. And that's our number one rule today. Wear your seatbelt. Not only will you get a $101 ticket, which is meant to try to get it so people wear seatbelts, and I'm totally against that, as you would probably guess. I don't like the idea that the government is forcing you to wear a seatbelt. It should be a personal choice. You need to look in the mirror and say, you, I want you to live. I want you to get home safely every night. I want you to wear a seatbelt. And that's what should be getting you to wear a seatbelt. Not the government saying, well, if you don't wear one, we're going to give you a $101 ticket. No, that's not the motivation that is needed for this. You need to say, I want to live. And one of the ways I'm going to live through car accidents is by wearing my seatbelt. So I'm not for the government forcing us to do it. And I don't even necessarily think it's a great thing that the government's ticking you for it. Now, the government has had a lot of campaigns to encourage people to wear seatbelts, and they put out a lot of information about why wearing seatbelts is good. I can't necessarily say I'm totally against that kind of thing where the government is saying, okay, we have all this data because when a car accident happens, we have the state patrol. The state patrol goes out and investigates what happened and why this person died. And the state patrol says, well, you know, all these factors being equal, the one thing that was different about this one is the person wasn't wearing a seatbelt. They got thrown out of a vehicle, and the vehicle, they hit the ground really hard, and it caused them some severe injuries that they ended up dying from or something like that. So the government can say, oh, geez, well, given all the statistical data that we're collecting, we need to give this out to the people so they understand what's going on and can make better decisions for themselves. And that's where I would say, okay, fine. The government is already collecting this data because of the job of the State Patrol in order to investigate the accident. Now that they have this data, go ahead and publish it and let people know why it's good to wear a seatbelt and where the dangers are by not wearing a seatbelt. But when you go to the point of being mom and dad about it and forcing us to do certain things, you've gone well beyond the role of what the government is. And you've gone well beyond the role of informing people of the dangers to the point of forcing people to live within the means that the government decides is best for them. So we have wearing seatbelts. Wear your seatbelt, and in a car accident, you will have a much better opportunity of living. You won't necessarily walk away. You might have to get help. You might break a leg. Who knows? But you won't necessarily – you won't die all the time. You'll have a decreased chance of dying, and that goes along with the idea of a rollover car accident. The problem with rollover car accidents is not necessarily that the roof caves in on you and you get crushed. No, most vehicles are actually coming away pretty nicely in rollover car accidents. They're relatively strong. What's happening is, and this has always been the case for many, 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 many years, and it's not a new car, old car thing, people get thrown out of the car. Problem is that you have a lot of windows, and those windows are openings for people and things to go out. When the car is going at a high rate of speed and it's rolling down the road, it's physics is forcing the people from inside out. And the problem is that if you're lucky and you're wearing a seatbelt, you won't have this force throwing you out because the seatbelt's keeping you in the car. But without that seatbelt, this force is going to throw you around the car at the very least. And people have died by not even being thrown out of the car because they're hitting their heads on parts of the car, part like the posts between the doors and the windows. Those posts are really, I mean, they're thick, solid metal. You hit your head on that at a high rate of speed, you could still die. And if you don't hit your head on that and you make it directly out the window, what happens to a lot of people is the car, they're not fully thrown out of the car, and the car rolls over on them and hurts them severely that way. Or they get thrown all the way out of the car, but then they hit a piece of pavement at 60 miles an hour, and very few people really want to do that. So wearing your seatbelt keeps you in the car, and it can help save your life in a rollover car accident, as well as in frontal collisions, side impacts, T-bones, rear enders. Seatbelts save lives. I will say that over and over again. I don't think the government should force you to wear it, but I want to tell you, seatbelts save lives, period. Number two, speed. Speed is a huge factor in almost all these car accidents. That's one thing that I could almost point to in almost every one of these car accidents. Excessive speeds. Once again, I've said it before, I have been known to fracture the speed limit from time to time. But when I do that, I am actually increasing the opportunity for me to get in a car accident and possibly die. And that's a risk I obviously have been willing to take because I am getting behind the wheel of a vehicle and driving at a higher rate of speed. So in order for me to negate my increased risk of dying in a car accident, I really ought to slow down. And by slowing down, it does a lot of things. First off, it will cause the collision speeds to be decreased, which means that the physics are decreased, which means that the damage done to the human inside the car is decreased. By doing the lower speeds, you have better control over your vehicle, and you have better opportunities for stopping. Stopping is directly related to the speed you're at. If you're at a higher rate of speed, it's going to take longer to stop. If something all of a sudden comes out on you, like, say, a deer or a car pulls out and you weren't ready for it, you're going to the lower speed, you'll have a greater opportunity to stop because you won't have to go as far, as much distance to pass for the friction of the brakes to slow your car down to a stop. So going at a little bit of a lower speed, you've decreased the forces that you're putting your body through, and you've decreased the amount of time it takes you to come to a stop. So you've decreased force, you've decreased stopping time, and you've given your body a little bit of a better chance not to get in this car accident. Plus, just the simple fact that when you're driving at a high rate of speed, the roads aren't necessarily made for those high rates of speeds. You have a, you know, a 12-foot wide lane, and you're going around a corner that's sort of sweeping. You're going at a high rate of speed. You sweep out just a little bit too far. You cut the corner just a little bit too much. Well, boom, right around that corner as you're sweeping it and you're cutting it a little bit close, boom, you hit head on with the semi truck. And that goes to my third one. The bigger car wins. As politically incorrect as this is to say, the bigger car wins. The guy in the big, huge SUV versus the guy in the small Kia. Sorry, guy in the small Kia. Thank you for helping the environment, but you die. That's not to say that you should die if you help the environment. That's just a fact of life. You have the smaller car, and a bigger car hits you. Chances are the guy in the small car is going to be the one hurt the worst. So the guy in the big car wins. The guy in the semi-truck will beat you when you're in your car. A guy in a car, and you could say, okay, well, why don't we just make everybody buy really small Kias or really small cars? That way, everybody will have the equal chance of dying when they hit each other. Well, no, that people have their right to choose what kind of vehicle they want to drive in, whether they want to spend a lot of money on gas, whether they want to have a lot of room inside their car because they carry a lot of things, whether they want to have a lot of room in their car because they have several people in their family. Whatever their choices are, it's their right to choose to have a big vehicle if they want to. If you choose to have a small vehicle, that's a risk you're choosing to take knowing that the big car wins. It's physics once again. You get in a rollover car accident, you're not wearing your seatbelt, the physics is going to try to push you out the window. It's going to try to push you away from where you're currently at, and that causes injury and death. You go at a high rate of speed, the physics of the impact is going to cause greater pressures exerted to your internal organs and is going to hurt you. You drive a smaller car, the physics of the big car versus small car collision means the guy in the small car is not going to have the crumple zones. It's going to be the smaller car, and it just gets damaged more than the guy in the big car. It's that's the way things are. I hate to say it, that's the way that if you want to drive a small car, that you have a higher chance of dying in a car accident at a higher rate of speed when you're not wearing your seatbelt when you go against the bigger car. But that's the way things are. You make choices in life, and that's a choice you want to make. I choose to speed, though I probably ought not to, because A, I'm risking a ticket. And I'm not against that, because they have these laws, these speed limits, for safety reasons of those roads, because the roads are not engineered for higher rates of speed, or they're so compacted with people that it's not safe to go at a higher rate of speed. By all means, okay, that is their right to go ahead and limit the speeds. And you can argue, well, if you're saying it's okay to do it for safety purposes of limiting the speeds, why isn't it okay for them to say you have to wear a seatbelt in the car for safety purposes? Okay, maybe you got me on one there. I'm going to have to think about that one a little bit. But I just think that the idea that I have the freedom to choose whether to wear a helmet or the freedom to choose to wear a seatbelt, I in some ways see that a little bit differently than my choice of speed. And the reason why that is because when I don't wear a helmet and I don't wear a seatbelt, the person I hurt is me and only me. If I choose to speed, I could be hurting the guy in the other car because I cause a car accident due to my excessive speed. That's where the difference would come in. So speeding can affect more than just you. Therefore, it's okay to regulate that activity because it goes beyond what you're doing. Wearing a seatbelt is specifically you. So we have speeding. Slow down. You won't reduce your chances of dying. Wearing a seatbelt, you'll reduce your chance of dying. Being the guy in the bigger car, you'll reduce your chance of dying. And not using substances, drugs, and alcohol before you go driving somewhere, you will reduce your chance of dying. And the reason why I say that, the issue there is not that the drugs or the alcohol themselves are going to kill you. What's going to happen is that you're going to drive more poorly. And when you drive poorly and you're choosing not to wear a seatbelt, or maybe you're going too fast already, you drive poorly, you lose your reaction time, you do that long sweeping corner, and all of a sudden you're going off the roadway, you're rolling, you don't have your seatbelt, you get thrown out. Or you make a bad decision and you cut the corner too much. Or you're so intoxicated that you can't really see straight. You see three roads in front of you. You drive on one of them. It's not the road anymore. Or you just pass out and you fall asleep. You black out. You don't remember what happened. You get in this car accident. So using substances that change or harm your reaction time is something that could increase your chances of dying in a car accident, because that by itself is a contributing factor to why the car accident happened. And one of the other things to go along with the substances is actually distracted unattentive driving, which also can cause you problems on car accidents. Once again, this is the PES on KZUU 90.7 FM.